Hi, K-Watchers, it's Leanne.
Hi, everyone, it's Juliet. Welcome to the K-Watch Party.
Today we have Marry My Husband, episodes 15 and 16. We made it, guys. From glasses to 2020 vision, rags to riches, deadbeat to chebble.
Ooh, I love this.
Our G1 story has come to an end. Let's finish this chapter of our lives with one last Marry My Husband recap.
You can get a job as a synopsis writer.
Too bad ChatGPT is taking that job. So Juliet, this week I have to say your house looks very clean.
Well, the tables have turned. This week, my in-laws are coming. I have about 5 hours until they arrive. And so I've been cleaning frantically. I did not sleep well and I have a lot of like nervous energy right now because I had to drink my usual matcha cocoa foam latte. That's sad. How are things going over at your house? We've had the in-law invasion on our street.
Are your in-laws like very particular about cleanliness?
No, but my husband is.
I see.
And I can guarantee they won't care, but it's also just a good motivator for us to clean too.
Yes.
You know?
Usually it's like a last minute friend is coming over. That frantic last 10 to 20 minutes of just cleaning is the best cleaning you do.
It really is. This is why I like to invite people like every other week to our house, because it's really the only time that we like put things away and I feel good about our place.
Yes.
You inevitably, after like 30 seconds of them arriving, it gets back to its original state, but it, you know, stays good for about 2 hours.
Yep. Well, your in-laws are here because we have a school function this weekend.
That's right. The big auction gala. I was talking to a parent yesterday who's not at our school and she skipped out on her auction. And I was like, oh, really? Like, this is the thing at our school. The amount of times people have asked me, are you going and what are you wearing?
Yes.
I could not have missed this. I would have felt so left out.
Yeah.
So much FOMO.
Yeah, we talk about this for
From the first day.
Yeah, we talk about this all year and then we talk about it throughout the end of the year, all the memories we have from the event. I think it's just that at this time in our lives, we don't have opportunities to get in a nice dress, put some heels on and go out dancing, right? So it's a gold theme. You haven't been to these yet. Like the parents go all out.
Well, I did ask a parent last week. I was like, well, how aligned are people to the theme? And she's like, oh no, people are bought into this theme.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, but gold looks so bad on me. So I ended up getting my nails done.
Oh, nice.
And then originally it was like the color of, you know, really garish gold, like a Mr. T gold. And I was like, I'm sorry, you're going to have to take this off. These look so bad on me. I look so tacky.
It looks more like copper now.
So then, yeah, I got this like rose gold-ish, but my dress is black because I cannot wear gold.
I know.
It just does not look good on me.
It's not a very Asian friendly
thing.
Yes,
I know. Yes, I'm sure if you're blonde and you have, you know, olive toned skin, gold looks fabulous on you.
Yeah, it's the golden party. So there's going to be a lot of men in Amazon golden suits. Last year it was disco and all like multiple dads showed up in the same shirt because it's all just last minute Amazon purchases.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, so we're going to have a lot of...
Wait, is your husband wearing something gold?
So last year he went kind of all out for disco.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, I think this year he was just going to wear a plain black suit, but he's now hearing at like soccer practice and on the playground that all these dads are like wearing tuxes or like gold, like full on gold suits. So he's feeling a little like maybe under...
Oh, really?
...themed. So then he goes online and he's like, what gold like lapel pin can I get?
Yes.
And so there's all these like cheap things on Amazon. I was like, oh, they're so awful. So he asks his mom who's here, but his dad's not here yet. His dad flew in later. His mom's like, oh, I have some pins. Why don't we just have your dad go in the safe and he'll bring it. Now.
It's like a 24 karat gold brooch.
It's like a Van Cleef.
Hey.
It's beautiful. He's going to look so good next to my Zara bracelet. It's really gonna be high low.
I mean, he can stand next to my husband who is not wearing any gold. I'm excited to get dressed up. I rented a dress.
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, I purged my closet so well. I mean, I'm half excited, but also it's such a hurdle. You know, normally I'm wearing sweats and the same puffy jacket every day. And so this is gonna be a lot of effort to...
People won't recognize you.
I know. Actually, the other day I was kind of dressed a little bit cuter and people were like, oh, wow, look at you. And I was like, wow, there's such a low bar for me that I just wear like a decent shirt and then people get surprised.
And just like maybe run a brush through your hair. People are like, what happened? Where are you going today?
I need a makeover like G1.
Yeah, we need, well, we need a rich
I need
boyfriend.
A UNK heir, yeah, is what seriously. I need.
Yeah, we all need an heir. You know, I started the new drama on Netflix, Queen of Tears.
Okay.
It's very cute. My father and I sit next to each other on the couch and watch it together.
That's a nice little bonding.
I am shocked experience. What this man will watch because
is this what he watches when he's in Korea, or is he just doing this here because he has nothing else?
No. My mother-in-law says he'll watch anything. And now I know it's true. Because if you could watch Queen of Tears.
Really?
He's not scrolling. He is like focused. He's focused. It is, honestly, like the leads are obviously gorgeous. The man.
Kim Soo-hyun. He's the one that was in My Love from the Star, like 2013.
Yeah, he is also just very handsome. I think he's one of the highest paid actors in Korea.
Really? Mm-hmm. Wow. And then the girl is Kim Ji-won.
That's right. Same name. I know her from Descendants of the Sun. I know she's done other things. So the show is about a chaebol heiress. Yeah. And so it's really interesting to watch kind of just like that chaebol life that they always depict in dramas, because it's just like family infighting and everybody's trying to impress the chairman grandpa.
Right.
But they did have a hunting scene, which is, you know, like the shooting of like pheasants.
Oh, so that must be popular with the rich in Korea. Well, now you have so much fodder for conversation with your father-in-law.
I was gonna ask him, but he was so
focused. You're just like yapping away the whole time and he's like, stop, I'm paying attention.
Yeah, I was like, oh, do your friends do this? Do you go hunting for pheasants in the country? Anyway,
but you haven't enjoyed it?
It made me actually really appreciate Marry My Husband, because Marry My Husband, as a recapper, has so much to talk about.
Right.
Because you've got time travel and you've got revenge and you've got, you know, villains.
And I think also because the characters are so extreme, as much as we've criticized that, it makes it really fun as a viewer and as a recapper.
Exactly.
If they're all like really monotone, just like really polished characters, it's actually not that fun to dissect them.
This show, it's being set up as basically a couple who was once in love. They're kind of fallen apart. And now maybe they're coming back together. But like, what obstacles will be in the way of them coming back together ultimately? And then also just like this chaebol family dynamic also as part of it. So, you know, kind of like your standard. If anybody is thinking about it or is watching it, I'll be watching it so I can give little updates in the beginning. I'll be watching it as long as my father-in-law is here.
Right. Okay. I'm glad you have that with your father-in-law.
Yeah, it's a nice bonding moment here. So we are finishing up the last two episodes of Marry My Husband. The last two episodes tie up a lot of loose ends.
A lot of happy endings.
Yes. Episode 15, a lot actually happens. And episode 16 is kind of just a wrap-up of the relationship.
It is a
wrap-up.
Right? There's a lot of
putting a stamp on this. You know,
right,
story.
Putting the bow,
yes.
The final bow, and the present is complete.
So the first loose end is that we need deadbeat husband to want Soo-min dead. And Ji-hyuk sets us up. Him and Ji-won have a plan. He sets us up by firing. Sends somebody over to deadbeat husband's house to tell his mom that he's fired.
Right.
He also,
that's humiliating.
He also calls in the loan that deadbeat husband has with the company. So now he is being forced to pay back all the money to the company now that he's fired, and all the other, I don't know, loan sharky type loans.
Yeah,
that
he had
out.
His own separate loans. I find you could get a loan through your company.
I bet in Korea. Well, you know, our doctor friend gets a loan through her hospital network and at very good rates.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but that's smarter than
I
company.
Guess that's like even teachers, like credit. Teacher mm-hmm, credit yeah. unions. Mm-hmm.
So these loan sharks, you know, this whole trope in dramas, and you and I were going back and forth like, oh, the internet says it's true. I asked my mother-in-law if these loan sharks are real. She's like, oh yeah, it's a big problem.
Really?
And people get beat up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she doesn't know anybody.
I mean, she's like not in my circle, but I've seen it on the news in the
yeah,
dramas.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I mean, I told you last week, the president is trying to pass a bill around it to charge these people as criminals for doing that. But these guys were like, these were real loan sharks, like with the gold chains.
We like should dress
were.
Like that for our
gold we really
gala.
Should. You know what? That would be so brilliant if we took it to the extreme of like the Mr. T. Look.
So these loan sharks are showing up. So he's getting beat up. So, right, deadbeat husband is at the lowest of lows at this point, and Ji-hyuk is setting him up to be super desperate. And then he clinches it by sending him a life insurance policy. It's like a little known policy that the company has. Employees, you know, we all get life insurance policies right. when we, in our companies. Similarly, he sends him a life insurance policy for him to cancel now that he's not a part of the company.
Right.
But it gets the wheels turning in Deadbeat Husband's head, like, oh, wait, Suman should have one too.
Yeah.
This cannot be true. Suman was a contractor.
As a contract worker? No.
No.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. 1099 workers, they're on their own.
Maybe in Korea.
Maybe we get they free have more snacks. Rights. Yeah, no rights. So now he wants her dad. He wants the money.
Because the policy is you get, was it like something like 50?
500 million won.
Oh, 500 million won.
Yeah.
If your spouse passes.
That's a lot of money. Yeah. Yeah. 500,000, basically, I think it translates to. So he goes to Yura, his maybe lover. I guess they've been sleeping together.
Yeah, they have been very subtle about it, but it becomes clear.
Yes.
In these episodes. Oh, and then the other thing that we missed is that Deadbeat Husband finds out that Soomin has money.
Mm-hmm.
You want to say it one last time, where her money's coming from?
Rojinthal? Well, I think it's Rojinthal, but also he finds cash. She stole.
He also finds cash.
So she stole it from her maybe dead dad.
Yeah.
The money that Yura was going to give for killing Jiwon. Yeah, so she's got Rojinthal money, cash in the drawer, and he cleans her out. This guy. Oof. And he sells this Chanel purse.
I know. Soomin has met her match. Frankly, those two are perfect for each other.
Yeah, there's a whole scene where he's trying to guess her password. He's trying to hack into her E-Trade.
Right.
What do we think her password is? He doesn't even know her very well. There's no way he would have known what her password is.
Unless it was Soomin, her birthday, !!
Or I hate Jiwon. It probably was I hate Jiwon.
It probably was I hate Jiwon. So or maybe it was Minhwan is a bitch.
1, 2, 3, 4. So Deadbeat Husband goes to Yura to help him out, help him unalive his wife. She actually has incentive to kill Soomin because Soomin is blackmailing her with a recording of her telling her father to go kill Jiwon.
Right.
So I think this was a nice plot device because otherwise Yura wouldn't care about Soomin. But now she really cares to get Soomin dead, right? Mm-hmm. So they're aligned in this goal. So Deadbeat Husband now wants Soomin dead. Yura wants Soomin dead. That is the first loose end we've got wrapped up. The next loose end, we need Soomin to fall into Jiwon's footsteps and walk in on her husband cheating on
her. That's right. So she does that. And the way that it's set up is that Jihyuk, hunky GM, texts Soomin to say, hey, Jiwon and Minhwan, deadbeat husband, are in this hotel room because she believes that deadbeat husband and Jiwon are sleeping together. But then she walks in and finds out that it's Yura and deadbeat husband. But it's almost the exact same conversation. In the original life, deadbeat husband was telling Soomin, oh, you know, I have this insurance claim.
Yeah,
and she's like, you're so smart. But that's the exact same conversation that Yura and deadbeat husband are having.
Right.
So we think they're setting it up that Soomin is about to come to her death, right?
Yes.
Because that's how it played out.
Right. I have some thoughts about this whole thing. There's just it was so, this scene in particular was so sloppy and convenient. Okay. Jihyuk tells Soomin to go to the hotel room at a certain time. So Soomin goes to the hotel room and she just gets in this hotel's elevator. There's no way in that hotel.
You don't
need a key
right
to get upstairs into the guest rooms. I just stayed at a 3-floor Hampton Inn and I'm pretty sure I had to key my way into the elevator. And I can tell you, Hampton Inns, you know.
Yeah. They're not the most secure places. Yes.
Let me tell you about Hampton Inns, which I've just recently found out because we haven't stayed there before. They have free breakfast and they have make your own waffles with a waffle iron maker.
Yeah.
And they have blueberry and chocolate
chips.
See, this
is the thing. You know, we got to go back to our immigrant roots. We stay at these nice resorts and then they charge you an arm and a leg for an omelet, $40 for an omelet, right?
Yeah, water's not even free.
Yeah, but then turns out all these places that my parents used to take me to, that would have the free breakfast and that was why they chose this place are amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah, we went to a place like that once too and then my husband was like, no, this is what we're looking for from now on. We're going to go to hotels that have free breakfast that's a suite.
Yes.
Right? Because they're suites. They're amazing. Yeah, they may not be fancy, bougie.
We actually, this is our second run-in with Hampton Inn recently because during a swim meet, we had to hang out. There was a whole delay. We had to hang out in a Hampton Inn lobby. And you can just walk in. Hot tip. Just if you're walking by a Hampton Inn and you want some waffles in the morning, walk in. Nobody checks your ID. It's just an open dining room.
So you can't go upstairs to the rooms, but you can get free breakfast.
You do not need to key fob your way to the breakfast buffet.
Oh, that is a great tip.
Hot tip. So anyway, this is not the Hampton Inn, and yet she can just walk
in. And then she can push that bodyguard aside and
the other thing,
barge her way into the room.
It's the 17th floor. No way that this presidential suite is on the 17th floor. Yeah. It would be floor 50. I want to believe that Mute Bodyguard is working with Jihyo.
Yes.
I'm imagining Mute Bodyguard on a burner cell phone texting Jihyo, being like, eggplant plus red heels.
Eggplant plus red heels.
Code.
It's a little too on the nose. He's going to do a egg
uh-huh.
and then a flower and then the red stop sign and a nail.
So he lets her in. It's just sloppy because how did Jihyuk know at that exact moment they would be in bed together, right?
They make Jihyuk out to be like all-knowing. He's like a god. He's omnipresent.
Yeah. Now they've made him into this puppeteer and have kind of given him this like manipulative side, which we weren't seeing before. Mm-hmm. But maybe this is how he was in his old life. We just didn't know.
Well, he has a reason to do it now.
That's true. Right? He didn't care before. Yeah.
Vengeance for his lover.
Yeah. And then, yeah. So you were saying that they're like talking in bed. Everyone is so fully dressed. Deadbeat husband is wearing not only a wife beater, but like a dress shirt. She's wearing like a kimono.
Full on. Yeah. Floral cover up.
Yeah. So I don't know. It didn't feel very sexy, but Soomin confronts them. She gets KO'd. The Mute Bodyguard knocks her out. So that's the loose end of Soomin walking in on her husband with another woman. The third loose end is now someone has to die Jiwon's glass table death.
Right. Yeah, I thought it was going to be her.
I know. I loved this twist. But, you know, Korean households really love a glass table. Even this Airbnb they show up at, glass table. Juran, the cancer, victim, she had a glass table. Mom has a glass table. Exactly like that.
You better get a golf club to it and smash that.
I know. Definitely not getting pushed around near that. So deadbeat husband has taken Soomin to an Airbnb.
Because presumably he is going to unalive her.
Yeah. I mean, obviously his plan is shaky. He ties her up so poorly. No tension, really.
He underestimates all the women in his life. Yeah. She's able to get out of it. And then they're struggling. They're like at each other's throats.
Yeah. She's got a knife on him.
Oh, gosh. Oh, that was good. These two are great. They're obviously a terrible scene, but they were so fun to watch.
I am more emotionally invested in these two like killing each other than I am in Jiwon and Jihyuk coming together and getting married.
Exactly.
Right?
I don't care about
them. I have more emotions for them. Yeah. So they fight and?
And then
twist.
The big twist. Soomin pushes deadbeat husband into that glass coffee table and he takes on Jiwon's fate.
Yes.
I was kind of confused as it was happening and then I was like, oh, wow, this is not how I expected this to happen.
It was great. A well-deserved ending to this unredeemable villain.
Mm-hmm.
But now we have a new loose end.
Karma is my boyfriend.
Actually, my daughter was at someone's house and then they're singing that song and the little girl asks my daughter, what is karma? And my daughter goes, karma's a cat. Anyway, karma is a cat in this show.
That is, wow, so accurate. So on point.
So good.
That's hilarious because I actually, you know, I'm not a big Swiftie, but I listened to the music. I didn't know the lyrics. And my son kept telling me, oh, that's why there's a cat in her book because we have this Taylor Swift book. And he's like, because karma's a cat. And I was like, what? And I didn't understand what he was saying and I just glossed over it. But now I understand.
Now you got it. I like that your son is a Swiftie. That brings him closer to me in my heart.
Both my kids are big Swifties. I always try to turn on NewJeans instead.
Oh, good.
Okay. And now the last loose end is Jihyuk, Hunky GM, and his car crash.
Yes.
And we were wondering last week, like, he is assuming that it's going to come to him, that he's the one that has to die in the same way that he did in his previous life. But in fact, Yura, our worst villain, she's driving like a maniac after coming out of the police station and she ends up dying.
Yeah.
Crashes a car.
I think she's fleeing the country.
She was fleeing the country because the prosecutors were coming after her and her bodyguard said, you have like 2 hours they're going to get you. And then I don't know why she got mad at him. She's like, you can never do anything right.
I mean, poor Mute bodyguard. Do you think he's also texting Jihyuk on the side on his burner phone, like bad boss memes? You know, like Office Space. She makes me work on the weekends. So she dies Jihyuk's death. This didn't make sense to me because why? G1's fate being put on other people was like a result of her taking action to get those results in a specific way.
Yes.
Jihyuk didn't really do anything to push this death on Yura.
Right. He's like a god. Things just happen.
Right. Like fate was just on his side.
And then the blue heart disappeared.
because his job is done, or like all of their fates have been.
I mean, listen, this show is not winning any awards for
accuracy.
Accuracy or for its logical storyline. But
look, I wish like a cat would have walked in front of her car.
Yeah.
But the difference is she would have run over it.
Oh, she totally would have.
And then the cat would have judo flipped the car and she would have died. That to me would have been better. But here we are. She's dead. So that loose end is solved. The last loose end was created in the finishing of the story, which was Soomin has escaped Ji-won's death, but she's still obsessed with killing Ji-won.
Yes.
So in this new life, Ji-won could still die because Soomin is after her.
Right.
Soomin's on the run. She's wearing a black cap. And like this all black outfit.
I was like, she looks so good.
But she looks very suspicious.
I mean, actually in Korea, they don't wear a lot of black, do they?
They don't. They wear a lot of like whites and taupes and grays. So it really makes you stand out. I was thinking, you know, anytime there's a fugitive, I think of Dr. Richard Kimball from The Fugitive. And I'm like, do a Dr. Richard Kimball. You know, honestly, what she really should have done is put on some glasses.
Put on some glasses and a mask.
Yeah.
And you'd be fine.
Exactly. Because by the logic of this show, when you put on glasses, you are unrecognizable.
Nobody even will pay attention to you. No. They'll walk right through you and past you.
Yeah. You are just part of the furniture. So instead of looking sexy and all black, glasses. But anyway, remember when that was the biggest villain on this show? It was glasses?
Yes.
Feels so long ago.
It really, it was 16 episodes ago.
She wore the glasses very long. Like a lifetime ago, like another show ago. Anyway, you can't dress up like you're up to no good and then buy paint thinner.
I love that it's called Shina.
What is that?
That's how they pronounce it in Korean. They said, oh, she bought Shina. Because they can't say th, so they say Shina.
Oh, so instead of thinner, it's Shina. Shina.
That's not suspicious.
Ji-hyuk gets word of Soomin's plan to barbecue up his girlfriend in an apartment fire. I don't know how.
This guy also, again, just all knowing, along with that right-hand man, they're just able to figure everything out. You should be in the FBI.
Yep, they're just getting calls. So we get one last judo scene. They're prepping Ji-won to basically face off with Soomin. Ji-won's like, look, we can't run forever. She's after me. She's obsessed. We got to do this. So they let her come in. So Soomin comes in. It's a dark apartment. They set it up to us, the viewer, like Ji-won is like actually in danger. We don't know that Ji-won understands that she's coming for her. It's really dark. Except, I mean, again, like kind of lazy in terms of an action scene.
It really is.
There really was no...
The buildup was more exciting than the actual event because like the thunder was so ominous. And then she grabs the door just as Ji-won is about to close it. She's wearing all black. It's a great setup. And then she starts to pour the thinner on the TV. And I was like, I don't know if that's really where you need to be focusing.
Let's like you know, the rug or the sofa.
What are the flammable things here?
The TV. So Soomin comes after Ji-won. Ji-won judo flips her one last time onto the ground. Again, very sloppy.
Also, they show that hunky GM had prepped Ji-won with the ties around her wrist.
Yeah, the zip ties. Yep.
Zip ties. Basically trained her to break that from her wrist. How did he know that she was going to use zip ties?
Exactly. It's all very convenient. That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of just like convenient parts to this, the loose end tying up. Like a lot of it is actually based on chance and not actually based on good planning. The zip ties is one of them.
Yeah. Right? From what I read, this drama actually followed the webtoon very closely.
Mm. Felt lazy to me, but Ji-won judo flips her and then Soomin's on the ground and then like one arm is tied up, but the other arm's just laying there. It's just flopping there. Her leg's totally free to flail.
Oh my gosh. She could have
fully flailing. No, nothing.
She
I mean, just
attacked
like
her with those.
I was the whole time I was like, Ji-won, sit on her.
Yeah.
Sit on her. Right. No fighting back. She's been totally immobilized. It was very lazy. Anyway, that's it. Deadbeat husband, Yura are dead. Soomin goes to jail. She's like going nuts in jail. She's still obsessed with Ji-won. Our two main leads in episode 16. We see them live their next 10 years.
They're just happy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you see them have a baby or two babies, right? And they both look exhausted. And then they have a third child.
And then they're just fabulously rich.
And I was like, can we just end it?
Oh my gosh. That last episode.
I was dying. The last 30 minutes. I was like, please.
I think for the people who really shipped them, that was a thank you to those people for sticking around for 16 episodes, but I was fast forwarding it. They're still awkward. 16 episodes later as a married couple, still feel awkward. Really yes. awkward.
And somehow she still has the exact same body, which I hate her for.
I know, exactly. Oh, she has long hair now.
Oh, was that the thing? I didn't even notice that. But then actually going back to the, when they showed her proposing to him. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that? A woman proposing to a man. At the risk of being canceled for being anti-feminist here, I'm just curious about your opinion.
I like the arc for her. Mm. Like this showed, right? Like the one consistent thing about the show, and it was very inconsistent in many other ways, right? That we've talked about it. The beginning of the show felt very, very different than the middle of the show, which became this rom-com, which in the last quarter of the show became this like revenge drama. It was very inconsistent from a tone and storyline perspective, but the one consistency there was that Ji-won was here to change her fate.
That's right.
And her character and stand up for herself and be a stronger version of herself. Right. She also, in the meantime, helped the people around her like become better versions of themselves, like Ju-ron, the meek manager, and I think Ji-hyuk as well. So that was very consistent, and I think this is a nice way to tie that up, is that she would never have done this in a previous life.
Right.
She took anything that, any love that anyone gave her, she would just take that, without question, and this time she knows what she wants and stood up for herself and asked him to marry her. So I thought that was a nice character development. In real life, women asking men, I think, why not? You know? As long as the woman doesn't have to buy the ring.
I also find it so amazing that in the last two decades, which was really like our adult life, that narrative has changed a lot. You know, when we were 20, it would be so out of the ordinary to have a woman propose to a man. Mm-hmm. And you would never see this even in a Korean drama.
No way. Yeah.
And I think in that way, this drama was really amazing to have a female be the lead. Because Ji-hyuk was just like the guy on the side, right?
Yeah, side piece.
He did not play much into the development of the story. But the focus being on this woman, I think, was a big win for Korean dramas. And then I thought it was funny because I was wondering if they were pushing the baby narrative.
So many babies. Three babies.
That's like unheard of in Korea now. But maybe there is some pressure from the government to have this type of storyline so that people feel like they'd want to have children.
Well, then they should make the sex scene sexier. And then people will actually go procreate. When you make the sex scene so sad and limp.
You think they're not having sex?
On screen.
You think just because of that, people are like, well, I don't want to have sex.
I think they'd get it on more if they had saw it on TV. On. Like Bridgerton. I bet people were making babies when Bridgerton season one was on.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
I like that instead of product placements, it's baby placement to try to get everyone to just start having babies in that country.
Also, the dress on Ji-won at her wedding was gorgeous.
The wedding looked really nice.
And the tiara, it reminded me of Kate Middleton.
Mm-hmm. Where is
Kate Middleton? Any theories on where she is right now?
I have a good friend who's married to a Brit. She's just like, when will everybody just accept that she got a facelift and she can't be shown?
That's so funny because there are several theories. One is she got a BBL, which sounds insane. Why would this woman get a BBL?
She has no ass, though.
Yeah, but a BBL.
Because, you know, her sister, Pippa, at the wedding was so
voluptuous,
famous for her bum.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Oh, like I didn't know that. Yeah. But do you think that Kate Middleton needed a facelift?
I mean, she's just aging like a British lady, you know, like just like a regular British lady of her age. You know, like why do we even need K-dramas? We just need The Crown.
Yeah.
It must be really bad for them to let it get this bad. Like her face must be so bruised.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And
it's plastic surgery gone wrong.
Yeah, that like they're letting her get this bad.
And so that's it.
That's it.
That was our first K-drama, our first K-drama recap, and it was a good one.
Yeah. Overall, would you recommend this drama?
I would because it was a fun one to watch. I think there was a lot of action. It wasn't the cleanest or the most artistic, but it was just a fun time.
Yeah. And I think as we watch other dramas, right now you're watching Dr. Slump.
I tried to watch Dr. Slump and at least from a recap perspective, I was like, this is not interesting enough for us to recap every week.
Yeah. I'm watching Queen of Tears also. We wouldn't have anything to say about it.
Yeah. So. But I wonder if Netflix's bar for a K-drama is much higher. And so they want things that are beautiful, that are like really well thought out. This probably could never have gone on Netflix, but maybe that's now our niche. We got to find our Amazon Prime dramas.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, this is such a minor scene, but remember they were talking to Uno, the chef, about him being the face and the chef behind the meal kits. Then the menu was sea snails and spinach pasta. It reminded of me when I went to your house the other day and you were prepping for the Girl Scout like thing where you were challenging them to try new things. Mm-hmm. And then you took out a can of sea snails.
Oh, were they sea snails?
Those were sea snails.
Oh, I just have these cans of random Korean things in my pantry that my mother-in-law has bought and left. I thought it was clams. They look like clams. But oh, it's all in Korean, so I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the one that you pulled out was sea snails.
Huh.
Koreans love those, but imagine if you gave those to the white girls in this neighborhood.
Oh my gosh.
They would have thrown up.
Okay, so I didn't know I had sea snails in my cupboard. So how should I make it?
So Koreans love to put that with like a soba noodle salad.
So cold.
Cold. Uh-huh. And marinate it with like a soy sauce, sesame oil, a little sugar, vinegar mix, sesame seeds. It's very tasty. Or I think they probably, I mean, I guess you could do it with spinach pasta.
Yeah. That's such an interesting thing to put in a meal kit.
It really is.
Like if I got a Factor meal, I used to do Factor meals or Sakara Life. Yes, and it came with clams. I'd be like, no, I'm good.
Yeah. Especially having traveled.
Who knows how long. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When I was watching that YouTube clip with Jihyuk in it, it was showing him at his home and people had come to his home and like checked out everything, including his freezer. It was filled with meal kits. So that must be very popular in Korea.
All right. So that was it for us on Marry My Husband. We will be back with Physical 100 Season 2. We hope you all have watched Physical 100 Season 1. And if you haven't, it is a really fun watch.
It's great. I've kind of forgotten about it. And they're promoting it again. I've noticed on my Netflix because they probably want to get people reacquainted with it. And then I started watching a few seconds and I was like, oh, this was so good. It was also really great because it was so unexpected.
Yeah, it was so surprising.
Yeah, I'm excited. I've had several people say that they haven't been listening to our podcast because they didn't watch Marry My Husband. Mm-hmm. But they will listen when we do Physical 100.
Yes.
And I don't care what anyone else comments, but we will make nicknames for these people.
We have to. We have 100 new nicknames we need to make.
Which, by the way, as a reminder, if you haven't already and you enjoy our show, go and leave us a nice review. If you have something mean to say, DM us. We'll have a personal conversation.
Juliet needs a little bit of an ego boost, so let's give it to
every
her this
week.
Weekend. We are excited to come back with Physical 100. Thanks for coming along this Marry My Husband journey with us. If you watched the show, we hope you loved it or you liked our recaps. And if you didn't watch the show and still listened, we feel your love and we love you back. So thank you to all our listeners. We will talk to you soon.
사랑해.
Bye.
Bye.